Welcome to the Rotary Community Heroes of Hope. I'm your host, Judy Zulfikar, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my amazing co-host, Jamie Zinn, District Governor of Rotary District 5330. Together, we will take you on a journey to discover the incredible impact Rotarians have on our community and around the world. Get ready to be inspired by our Rotary Heroes of Hope.
Jamie, we have a very special guest here. RILA is one of our biggest programs in Rotary, and that stands for Rotary Youth Leadership Awards. I'm not sure why it's awards and not academy, but that's what it is. And we have one of our very own RILarians on the show today.
Hi.
So are you going to tell us all about and educate us on everything we need to know about RILA and all the successes, correct?
I can absolutely do my best.
All right. Sounds great.
Well, let's go ahead and have you introduce yourself and tell us about your journey with RILA.
My name is Alohi Lani, and I attended RILA in April of 2023. And honestly, it was nothing like what I was expecting it to be. I've never been to a camp of any sort before. So that in and of itself was very much new territory for me. But what I was expecting was, we're going to do campfires, s'mores, and, you know, maybe a few team building exercises, which we did do, but there was so much more than that. It was almost like a culture shock a bit, but in a really incredibly fascinating but helpful way. I'm somebody that has kind of struggled with being vulnerable with people, and it really helped put into perspective everybody has things that they're going through, and it was a really amazing opportunity for me to kind of break out of my shell and begin being more vulnerable with people, especially people that I've known for years, my own family. And I think that it's really helped my relationships for the better since attending RILA.
So walk us through your journey. How did you find out about RILA at your school?
So I think last year was the first year that we had sent kids, at the very least in a really long time, I think mostly because of COVID, but we got pulled into a classroom with our counselor. She's like, hey guys, I have this really cool proposition for you guys. Kind of gave us a little bit of information about what Rotary was. And so I kind of looked into it, but it still didn't really give a full scope of like what the camp itself would be about. So she's like, if you guys are interested, here's the application, and then interviews will be on this day. Just so happened that the interviews were like the day of my birthday. So
that's a nice birthday present.
I know, it was pretty great actually. And then we did our interviews. I interviewed with Matt and Diane, and they're part of the Old Town Temecula Rotary. Super great. It did not feel like an interview at all. It was like a conversation, honestly. And then they're like, okay, we'll let you know in a couple of weeks. And they sent me the email, and I was both terrified because I didn't know who else, like what other classmates were going with me, but excited because I had never been in that kind of position before where I'd been offered like an opportunity to do something like that. So it was both terrifying, but also amazing.
So can you walk us through, you got to camp and what happened after that? Walk us through a day of being at camp and the activities that you did and what you learned from them.
Yeah. Had to wake up at like 4:30 in the morning because our bus stop it's like 2 hours away from me because I live up in the hills. So that was great. I was on the bus for however long and super tired. So when we get there and there's a bunch of these random kids who I've never seen before getting on the bus and like, hey, everybody, how you doing?
I was not a lot of noise that early in the morning.
Not having it. I was so tired, so exhausted. And I was like, oh man, this is crazy. So we get off the bus, we get registered, and they put us in these weird little hoodies, and I'm like, what is this? And then I come to find out, I don't even get to stay with the kids from my school. I'm with a bunch of random people. I'm like, oh, what did I get myself into? But then we did the icebreakers, and they were so incredibly unique. Like, I've never seen anybody do icebreakers like Scott before, and I think that really was probably the best way to get these kids slightly comfortable. Obviously, it's still very much like, I don't know these people, I don't want to talk to them, but it helped ease us into it. And then once we got put into our different groups, it was like, okay, none of these people that I have interacted with before, I don't know anything about them. I don't know if I'm even going to like them by the end of this. And I'm here for 3 days with them. But then we're doing like relay races where we're having to, like, you know, obviously work with each other to get across and get our team to the finish line. We're working with our DGL, which I was a weird concept because I was under the assumption that they were just there to supervise us and nothing more, but all of the DGLs were participating in all of the games, and it was really entertaining to watch.
We're gonna stop for just a second to explain what a DGL is. So a discussion group leader is a Rotarian that goes along and is with each of the groups. So each of the groups, intentionally, we put the students together that don't know each other. That is a very intentional thing. And then the discussion group leader is there, sort of, they're the mama duck and all the ducklings and or papa duck, because there's men and women Rotarians that go up and then make sure that everybody kind of gets from point A to point B.
Yeah. And so your
funny part was watching all these, quote, older individuals participating in the two-legged sack race. Yeah. Is that exactly what you're saying to us, right?
Yes, it was. It was pretty good. I won't lie. So I think that also helped ease us into it, because it's like, okay, everybody's participating. Everybody is getting involved. There's no, I don't really want to do it. I'm not going to participate for this. No, everybody has to be involved. Everybody's going to get out there and humiliate themselves, whatever it is. And after each activity, we did a discussion on, whatever team won, how did they win? What was the best strategy and things like that. And then we got sent to our cabins and we had a discussion with our group. So these discussions would have various ranges of very deep and vulnerable conversations with each other. That's really what the point of those conversations were. We had things that you wouldn't really be able to discuss, like, with people at school, which I guess is one of the many benefits of being put in groups of people you may possibly never see again. But you could have these conversations openly and honestly and with people that aren't going to judge you, because they know just as little about you as you know about them. And I think that it was really a great opportunity to just be open, upfront, and honest with everything that you have going on and be supported rather than, judged by whoever it is that is in your normal day-to-day life.
So give us an example of some of the subject matters that you would speak of.
So one particular conversation that really stuck out to me was, we did this activity. It was like a hot seat. So one person would be in the hot seat and they would go around in the circle. Each person would ask them, "Who are you?" And every person that asked them, they would give one fact about themselves. It could be as deep or as shallow as they wanted it to be. It could be something as simple as, "I have two dogs," to something about their family life, what they have going on at home. And through that activity, as you get to know more and more about each person, then every other person would come to a conclusion about that person. So I know for me, when I was sharing like who I am as a person, my experiences with these people, what they had told me was, one of the kids, he told me that I was like a willow tree. You don't necessarily see something that is going to bloom into this great big thing at first. But as you get to watch and stand back and see all that it's capable of, it's this magnificent tree that everybody is astounded by, honestly. And so that helped put into perspective, like, my own self, because that was something that I had struggled with, was like self-confidence and seeing my own value. And so those kinds of discussions really helped, obviously build my confidence, as well as, you know, being able to contribute to other people and whatever they have going on, so that they can actually see who people see them for, not just what is at face value.
And it's interesting to see, you know, the perspective of someone else, especially someone you don't know, it's fresh and don't have biases against, or it's just very open and like exactly. You said, raw and vulnerable.
Yeah, for sure.
So you spent 3 days up there, and each of the days had activities very similar. So there were a couple of guest speakers that you had. You mentioned Scott Greenberg. What did you take away after you finished listening to all these guest speakers and participating in all these activities? What is the one thing that you took away from that camp that it will be with you for the rest of your life that has really made an indelible impression?
I think one of the most important things to take away from the guest speaker stories is, one, healing is not a linear process. It is going to have its ups and downs, just like every other part of life. And there's going to be times where you get sent back a few steps after taking a small step forward, whatever it is. It's not going to be an easy process, but you are going to get there. And another thing is, when you're faced with hardships, that does not make who you are. You are not defined by every bad thing that happens to you. You are defined by what you make out of that situation, how you come back from it, and how you can use that to build yourself up, not take yourself down further.
That's a great example of, you know, what is the point and the intention of a Ryla. So tell us, as you were winding up towards the end of the day or the end of the camp, you know, when you said that you first arrived, you're in a bus with a whole bunch of people you don't know. You're basically tired and sleepy. Probably nobody's talking. What was that scene at the end when you knew that you were now all going to have to get on a bus and go home?
It was awful, actually. It was these people that we had just met not even 2 days before were people that I never wanted to be without. I had made such deep, honest connections with these people, and a majority of them aren't in my area. I know my DGL lives in Temecula, so she's not that far away from me, and I talk to her pretty often, which I'm very grateful for, because she was amazing. But we had so many kids that were way out of the way from me, and it was heartbreaking knowing that I might never see them again, despite having this amazing experience that we shared.
Do you keep a connection with them? You know, obviously in the day of electronic communications here, have you shared email addresses or text messages so that you can keep in touch with them?
Yeah, we do stay in touch. I know one of the girls that was in our group, she was an exchange student. So not too long after Ryla was finished, she went back to France and is now over there. So time difference is a little bit wonky trying to communicate, but like all of us, we have a group chat together and we talk to each other. And a few of our group members are also alumni. So whenever we get together to do our alumni meetings, it's always great seeing them.
And let's talk about that. So what is an alumni, and why did you decide that you wanted to apply to be an alumni at Ryla?
So the alumni are the previous year's Rylarians. They are interviewed and selected to come back and help plan the following camp. So like I said, I attended in April of last year, so we are planning for March and April of 2024. It I knew I wanted to do it from the beginning, seeing how one, the alumni, when we went, antagonized us so much at all of the games. They're supposed to be facilitating them and, you know, getting us through them, but they will not hesitate to make it incredibly difficult to make it through it. It was equally frustrating as it was entertaining. So that
they definitely bring the energy. They're the ones that come onto the bus yelling and screaming, and that high energy the entire time of camp.
Absolutely. And it kind of changed my perspective on that, because I was never that kind of person before that. But just seeing how much energy they could put into something, knowing, like, we got a very little amount of sleep, and I knew that they were getting even less sleep. So it was astounding knowing that they could put on that energy and be utterly exhausted. So that was one of the reasons. Another reason was because I'm very big about, you know, helping other students, especially with mental health issues like that, and being able to connect with them to help them feel seen. That is very much a passion of mine. So this was a great way for me to do that in a fun and entertaining way for them, a way that's not going to make them feel like they're being singled out or they're being forced to sit in a counseling meeting. You know, it was a new opportunity.
So what parts of the camp are you and your fellow alumni able to construct?
So the alumni are mostly in charge of planning the events, like the types of games and stuff that we set for the Rylarians. We are in charge of coordinating the names and the theme of the camp. So when we went, the theme was music. So each of the groups were a decade, a different music decade. And then in those groups, there was the smaller subgroups that were bands from that decade. So we get to pick the theme and what different genres there will be and everything like that. We get to pick our jobs, who's in charge of, you know, running this sort of activity, who's doing that activity, who's going to make posters, who's going to make signs for each group, who's going to do breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the meals, because people need to be able to dismiss each group. That way it's not chaos when people, everybody gets their food. So things like that. You know, it seems like a small feat, but when you actually get to it, it was not easy. When he was explaining to us on our first meeting, I was like, oh, that's not that bad. That's okay. And then we started doing it, I was like, that's a lot.
That's a lot of scheduling, a lot of leadership skills you're getting there.
Absolutely.
So are you really excited and looking forward to doing this year and being able to contribute back from what you have learned throughout this experience?
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited, but I also kind of dread it, because I know that would be the last opportunity for me to experience it in that light. Coming back as if I came back as a Rotarian, that would be another level to it, another layer to add to the mix. But I think mostly knowing that a lot of the people that I'm working with, the other alumni, knowing that that will probably be the last opportunity we have to work with each other, it's pretty sad, but
bittersweet.
Exactly. Bittersweet is exactly the word.
Hope you come back as a Rotarian and experience the discussion group leader side of it. Every little piece is different, and it's a different perspective, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that is excellent. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your experiences. And if, you know, we have a lot of listeners out there, a lot of listeners that are going to be your age, what would you say to them about seeking out the opportunity to go to RILA?
If you have that opportunity and you are questioning whether it's the right decision, absolutely do it. You will do nothing but gain that experience, and it will build you up as a person, as a leader, as a communicator. It will benefit you in so many ways that you won't even realize until it's all said and done and you're like, what just happened? You will come back a new person. I can promise you that.
Well, aloha Lani, this has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I can't wait to hopefully see you up at RILA in April and hear about, you know, your experience as an alumni. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So that wraps up this episode of Heroes of Hope. We are so happy that we have an audience out there listening. We want you to subscribe, share, and tell your friends about the Rotary community Heroes of Hope, because that's how we get the word out about the impact we're having in this world.